Anzac Day, a day where we pay our respects to those who have served our country.
My patrol was targeted by a roadside bomb or an improvised explosive device.
I'd seen face-to-face what the enemy's weapons could do.
And where the battles on the football field take a backseat to the soldiers who have fallen.
We lost 5 guys instantly.
I started having some pretty horrific nightmares.
Welcome to the MCG for a new tradition. Anzac Eve, Melbourne and Richmond. For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Hello and welcome to the MCG, a massive game of football. It is Richmond taking on Melbourne. This fixture hasn't been going long, but it has become a wonderful part of the AFL scene, celebrating Anzac Day. So the commemoration will take place later on under lights, always a very, very special night. We're looking forward to the ceremony and the game itself. Mark Howe with you alongside some absolute superstars. We've got Joey Montagna and Nick Riewoldt in the back row. Hello, boys.
Evening, Howie. How are you, mate?
Hello, mate.
How are you, Rui? Great to see you here. And James Brayshaw here, as always, ready to dominate the call. Hello, Jim.
Oh, hello to you, Howie. Very nice of you to turn up.
Yes, well, we had a few issues. Let's be honest. I left it in Joey's hands to get us here. We had to get it right off the top. Joey, you and I didn't have a car park.
No, we didn't. No,
they wouldn't have mattered if you did.
No, no. Jim, you had a car park?
Always. Now, I thought everyone got them.
Well, it's not the case.
Yeah, I had one.
Right. Yeah. So this is your first game of football for Triple M for the year?
Yeah.
First game. I reckon I've done 715 games in the rain on the boundary, Jim.
You have?
And I've never had a car park pass. And the big St Kilda superstar wanders in, and you got one straight away.
Well, yeah, what, 700, did you say?
725.
How many good ones?
Four or five.
Let me ask you this.
Fair comment.
You two. Yes. Even if you had a car park pass, would it have mattered? Would you have got here?
Well, let me tell you exactly what occurred. I said to Joey, can I come with you? He said, yep, I'll organise the Uber. So I get to Joey's at 4:45.
Yes.
And I get taken into his house and reintroduced to his beautiful partner, Erin. And we have a 15-minute discussion about the upcoming baby, which is very nice. I'm getting a little bit edgy at this stage, Rue, but we're talking about the third trimester and she's experienced some back pain.
So I can show you the nursery. Yeah.
And then we go into the nursery and he's showing me the nice beige colours at 5:05.
Right.
And I'm starting to think, oh, this is getting... And then he finally orders the Uber, which then he takes us along Flinders Street, which is going nowhere. So we're stuck with half an hour to go, to which Joey says, let's get on a tram. Now, Joey admitted to me, being a footballer, he hadn't been on a tram for 20 years.
Yep, I've been on a tram a couple of times in my life.
So we get on the tram, which is jam-packed, not going anywhere as well, Jim.
My key
says,
card?
Well, this is the point. I say, well...
enormous amount of trouble.
Well, I've said to Joey,
retrospectively,
you've got to understand you need to pay for this. Being a footballer, they're not used to paying for things. He said, no, it's free within the city, so I'm fine. So we go two stops and we're fine, and they say this is a free service. Yes. We're jammed in there. Joey's signing autographs with a couple of Saints fans. I'm looking at the clock thinking, crikey, we might have cut it a bit loose. And then the announcement comes over, this is the last free route stop. Oh. After this, you need to pay. You know what my man does? Pulls out his credit card and tries to start tapping it off the IP.
I thought it'd be PayPass.
Trying to PayPass Mikey. And it just showed me, Jim, that the modern footballer has no connection with the real world.
No, zero. Mind you, you wouldn't have been on too many.
No.
Thank you.
No,
he did say. He said it was the first time he's been on a tram.
Exactly.
So I thought, there you go.
Look at this.
That's what it looks like, the Mikey, in case you were wondering. Boy.
Excuse me. Why have you got a Mikey?
Because I catch the train to work.
What to work? You don't even work, Rui. So what do you mean? You
catch... I've done a...
What do you... Hang on.
I've done a full day today.
You work?
Yeah, I worked in the city. Oh, Flinders Lane.
Oh, wow.
175.
A lot to get through now that we're finally here. 6:15, Jack Viney will join us, injured Melbourne superstar. And then at 6:30, Brendan Gale, the CEO of Richmond, who is just, Jim, you must look at this man and been in the position of being heavily involved in a football club. He said a couple of years ago, we're going to win a premiership and get 75,000 members. And everyone laughed at him, Jim.
Yep. No, they've been amazing, Richmond, and full credit to him and to Peggy and their whole setup. They've had to put up some SH1T along the way too, clowns having a dash at the board.
Yes.
Trying to sack the coach, and, you know, so there's always a bit of that attached to the big clubs, but they've stood firm and been brilliant. So well done to everyone concerned. And this tonight is a credit to them and Melbourne. Going to be 80-plus thousand tonight and then 90-plus thousand tomorrow. So, you know, it's 170 grand over 2 days in this stadium. It's pretty nuts.
Is it fair to say now Richmond are the biggest club in the AFL?
Well, I hope Ed's not listening. He jumped through the radio and actually grabbed you by the throat, were that to be said. But at the moment they are, no doubt. I mean, their size speaks for itself. They were always dormant, Rui, weren't they?
They are. And I right throughout my career, I did not appreciate just how big they could be, because to get as big as they've become, you need success. And that's why I think in the initial part of my career, Collingwood played in grand finals in 2 and 3, and that the non-Victorian clubs really dominated as far as premierships. So Collingwood always had that following, regardless of where they sat on the ladder. But it's blown me away. It absolutely has. Just how many people have either come out of the woodwork or jumped on board the Tiger train in the last 12 to 18 months. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, we had an extraordinary night. Jim, the thing that's obvious to me, and it's probably more your department, I haven't seen Nick since he retired, and he looks like he could go and play AFL football tomorrow.
Unlike Joey.
So well...
is that the point you're about to make?
It's a very different...
Joey looks like he's sat on a gas outlet.
Well, they've just...
Are you going out in sympathy for Aaron, are you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just wondering, when you were around at Joey's place earlier...
Yes.
So Aaron's got the six-month bump.
She does.
And Joey's got the six-month post-retirement bump. Who was popping out further, do you think?
Definitely not Aaron. Definitely not Aaron. You've obviously taken a different approach to winding down after football,
and I'm unashamedly happy. I've played 16 years of professional football. I looked after myself, and now I'm enjoying 6 to 8 months of eating pie, and I'll go get a pie at halftime because they're good here, and I'm having some soft drinks, and I'm having a few beers, and I'm enjoying it, JB. And I've got nothing to be shamed about.
You've got a great personality, though, Joey.
Are you capping it there? Is that when you'll tap out and go, right now I need to get my body back to shape?
I haven't worked that out yet. I'm thinking 12 months. So I reckon maybe the end of this footy season I might then start the diet. Does it work like that?
I wanted a similar situation with one in Riewoldt.
Right.
In Waco? Houston. Just out of...
Yeah, but we get up to Waco a bit.
Because it's my mail that over there, a similar thing, but a mini version happened.
Mini version.
Where got about 5 or 6 kegs on and then suddenly crapped yourself.
Yeah, I finished the season at about 93, 94, and I jumped on the scales after 6 weeks in Houston, and my new life motto became, why not? Why not have have some breakfast tacos every morning? Why not open a bottle of wine with dinner? Why not have a tequila at 5 p.m? And I jumped on the kilo, and I was... 222 pounds, which actually didn't really mean that much to me until I converted it to kilos and I was topping 100 kegs for the first time since about 2005. So vanity is a very powerful motivator, and I got him off.
That's the difference between us. That's the difference between us. He's a vain man. He's worried about his looks and all. I'm happy with myself. I'm happy. I've got a lovely wife and I'm content, and I don't need to keep myself in my footy-looking condition.
The great Brendan Favola, who's a friend of all of ours, had a reality check from his wife when she was pregnant, and so according to her was he. And she said, you look pregnant. Feb finally decided he might have to do something about it, so Aaron might head down the same path.
But unlike the rest of it, he's actually been able to commercialise it.
Yes. Maybe I might
try that. Put on a few more kilos and see if I can get someone.
I don't reckon Howie's got any of these concerns.
No, that's not a concern for me. Hey, Rui, I was having a chat to Joey on the way down here, and he was saying that, you know, since he'd finished playing footy, life hasn't changed a great deal. But he was saying, and it wasn't in confidence, he was saying that for you, life is completely different because the amount of pressure or stress you felt playing the game of AFL football is just wiped away from your life.
Yeah, that's accurate. And Joey was always the person to talk me off the ledge with respects to footy, whether it was training on a Tuesday night and I had my head, you know, wound up tight, spun like, you know, my head would spin like a top. Joey would be the one saying, mate, it's Tuesday, would you just relax, lighten up a little bit? But that was just how I was and really how I needed to be to get the best out of myself, and I felt the best out of those around me. But so the contrast now that I'm not playing has been dramatic. Probably the biggest difference, which I didn't anticipate, was just taking work or footy home with me all the time, and that's not there anymore. Even little things like having a sore throat and what that would do to me mentally and the way I felt that was going to impact my training or the game, I was a lunatic. So I'm really enjoying the freedom of not playing.
So you were at the sort of BJ Goddard sort of knobhead end of the spectrum?
Yeah, they were in one corner
and
of the...
You and who?
Dal and I were at the other end of
Goose McGuire?
Goose McGuire and Dal, we were at the other end just relaxing, having a bit of a chat, chilling out. And then BJ, Rui and Max Hudgston were at the other end of the room going off their heads before a game.
The difference between you and Rui is, BJ, is you had the ability, once the footy finished, to actually return quickly to being a good bloke.
Somewhat. Poor old BJ.
Geez, I hope he's listening. But every now and then you can just give someone a complete running over. yeah. and they got no ability yeah, to return
no,
fire.
No right of reply. But it drove me mad. It drove me mad, actually, looking at Joey and Dell and those boys, because I wish I could have been like that. And I tried it, but it just, as hard as I tried, I couldn't do it. I was all consumed by it. And no one's happier in the world at the moment than my wife, because I'm a much better person to be around.
The modern unit, Joey, is not like that, are they? The sort of 23 and unders that I ever come into contact, if I ever head down to North, they see life completely different.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, late in our career, Rui, to be fair, did get lighten up a lot towards the end of his career, and it made it much more enjoyable to hang around with pre-game. And,
thanks.
And pre-game, I said, hang around pre-game.
Maybe that's why I started to get invited to things.
But now these days, Joey, there's music. I mean, we would, under Ross Lyon or Grant Thomas, we would never have imagined of playing some tunes and having a dance in the change rooms before a game. But these young players, that's just how they go about it. They dance, they listen to music, they're much more jovial, they don't take things so seriously.
The bus ride for an interstate game from the hotel to the ground is the biggest one for me. Under Ross Lyon, we would get on the bus, and if anyone sneezed, it was a mall. No one spoke, no one did anything. I remember one day the team manager got onto the bus on the phone, and I thought it was going to be a murder. Ross was furious. But now the young crew, they get on, it's music, it's, you know, jovial before a game, it's jokes, it's a completely different environment. So it's changed a lot. It's probably
just one question before we go, because we've got Jack Vine not too far away. With all that going on, come Saturday at 2:10 in the traditional time slot, did you enjoy playing footy?
I wouldn't say I enjoyed the build-up. No, the build-up for me was something to endure, not enjoy. But once I got out onto the ground and I was able to do my warm-up and get moving and get rid of some of that nervous energy. Yeah, I love being out there. And still, driving into night and the thought of playing here at the G under lights, big crowd, big event, I'm jealous. I'd love to be out there.
And you know that you've driven in and you've got the nice car park, so you're not getting wet and there's no
perfect
tram, and
didn't
away
get wet,
you go.
Didn't have to ride the tram.
Very nice for the listeners, not so much for Melbourne fans, to welcome this man in the box, Jack Viney. Hello, Jack.
How are you going?
Well, great to see you. In unfortunate circumstances, we always like chatting with you. We'd rather watch you playing footy. The foot, what happened and how long till you're back out there, mate?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a series of unfortunate events with my foot. The plantar fascia last year, I had surgery on it. Probably come back a bit too quick and didn't give enough time to heal and end up having a stress fracture in a bone in the same foot. And then come back, around January, and had a, because I hadn't run for so long, my ankle was pretty stiff and was pretty sore, so I had to manage that for a while. And then I get past that, and now my toe's a bit sore, a bone in my toe called sesamoid. It's flared up, and that's kind of where I'm at the moment. We are, I think, finally over the hill now, though, and looking forward to playing again soon.
Interesting to hear you say you probably came back too quick, because I think the perception was that that was the case, but medically they're now sort of acknowledging that that didn't help.
Yeah, I think at the time all the information we had was that I was going to be fine to play, and I kind of felt like it was do or die time for the club and that point of the year, so I felt like I had to get back, and I probably wouldn't have looking back, I wouldn't do anything differently, but in an ideal world, if there was no pressure, I would have taken another couple of weeks to make sure it was fine.
So what's the timeline, mate, for coming back?
I think another 3 weeks, roughly, all going well. Around 8, I think, hoping to make a return.
And my experience was captains don't come back via the VFL, so straight in.
I mean, I'll be pushing for it, but I'll probably end up cramping half time or something, so they might take me through the VFL or something.
How are you as a watcher, watching the boys the first 5 weeks of the season? What type of person are you when you watch? Do you just relax? Do you get right into it? And how do you spend the games? Where do you sit?
I've been in the coach's box all year, yep. I do get right into the game and have to keep, drawing myself back and understand that, getting angry or frustrated or overly excited isn't going to help. I've got to stay calm, relaxed.
Coach's box is the best spot to do that. Have you been told off for maybe cheering or commentating while you're in the coach's box?
Yeah, I might have had a couple of nudges mid-game just say, Jack, just calm down. I've actually been demoted into the stats box today with Gordon Lewis.
Oh, in there with chew-type territory.
Yeah,
that is
exactly
a demotion.
So I think I've got the hint.
I sat in one of the abandoned radio boxes at the old Subiaco Oval with an injured Jack Zeeble who, when someone didn't defensively cover, punched a hole in the wall. Seriously. Yeah. The chip rock ended up with a great big hole out of it. Not a straight on. It was like the side of his hand. But just, I said, mate, they are going to rip this joint down, but we're a couple of years away from it. Do you get that sort of anger in you or not?
Nah, I'm not that bad. Yeah, I like to think I keep my emotions pretty in check with a little outburst here and there. But for the most part of it, I'm pretty good.
So what about a week like the last week that you've had as a footy club? Leaders play a really big role in the turnaround. So when you're injured and you're the captain of the football club, you can't really sort of point to your own performance as a beacon or a shining light. How do you have an influence as a leader when you're out injured?
Yeah, I think you're right. It does come down to the leaders in that kind of performance. I mean, we've got to take ownership of it. And that's where we started, really, for the, you know, try and get back on track. It's looking at how we can influence the group. And I think we were just so far away from, you know, our game style and how we want to go out and play and execute. So it was just got back to the simple and the simple things, the fundamentals of our game. You know, being clean, strong in the contest, strong in tackles, executing the roles, which were all off last week, which I guess contributed to a pretty poor performance. So, yeah, we kept it reasonably simple throughout the week and we were pretty clear what we needed to do to get back to playing some good footy again.
So with your experiences, the inconsistencies must be frustrating as a club because your best football is certainly good enough, but you put in some poor performances still. Do you think it's more to do with the preparation Monday to Friday and the boys aren't in the right headspace to perform at their best, or do you think it's just in games that they're not able to execute properly and maybe lose concentration in what you're trying to achieve?
Yeah, I think it's got to do probably more around the game day thing. You know, we train really hard and, you know, we try and, I guess, perform and execute, you know, really strong behaviours throughout the week to get us in the best position to play good football. It's just understanding trends within the game and, you know, that game knowledge, you know, being demanding of each other on game day, which I think is where we can improve to try and... You know, there's always going to be those momentum shifts in a game, but you can't let it... you can't let it be so significant, which we haven't been great at. So I think that's where the next step is.
Jack could easily have been my son, Rui. You don't know this, but Jack's mum, Megan, had a massive crush on me at Pembroke School in Adelaide, which they all did, by the way, so she wasn't on her own. And if he had been, then because his old man is, of course, as hard as a cat's head, which I was too, so we wouldn't have lost much, but you might have been taller instead of a bloody pygmy.
I mean, I would like a few extra centimetres.
That's it.
I think it would help.
No, I'm not sure you would have been quite as hard at the footy.
He wouldn't have the arms, like that either if he was yours.
No. All right, there might have been a couple of differences. How is mum, by the way? She's going beautiful.
Mum's going very well, thank you.
Closer to my own family, I see Gussie Boy out there having a kick. He's had to earn his spot, which won't do him any harm, but he's going all right.
He is. He's, you know, he's had to do a few things to get out there, but you know the last month of football for him has been really great. He had a couple of really strong weeks in the VFL, you know, played his role and performed strongly, and I think he's really he's done that in AFL as well, and I think he was one of our better players last week.
And I know that his brother William, who's just returned from Afghanistan, is an officer in the army, is speaking at the function tonight. Has he been down to chat to the boys?
No,
well?
He hasn't. He has. Gussie's brought him in throughout the years,
yep.
And the boys got to meet him and have a chat with him. But he didn't come in specifically for this week. I had a chat with Gussie. I know he's doing a few functions today and getting around. So, yeah, I'm glad Will's involved.
I actually don't think it would be possible for me to be his father.
No.
There's a lot of difference between the courages. Walking the streets of Afghanistan with them whizzing around your head, Joey. I don't reckon I had that in me.
I don't think any of us in this box do, to be honest. Jesse Hogan, another one I want to ask about. I did see in the Herald Sun today, he did want to have he moulded his game on Nick Riewoldt. He did want to have a chat to Nick Riewoldt. Did you see this, Howie? He wanted to chat to Rui at a Fox footy function, and Rui just basically brushed him off. That's what it said in the paper. Rui ignored him, gave him donuts. But Jesse's form this year's been terrific. That role that he's playing where he's getting more ball and higher up the ground, has that been a coach's directive, or is that just something that Jesse's just taken upon himself to try and get up the ground and get involved a bit more?
I think it's something that's just evolved. I think it came from the coaches to see what he's like around the ball. But, I mean, he's just such a smart player with his body and knows how to use it to manipulate certain, you know, positions. So it's worked really well in the midfield for us. Throw something different in there, a bit more versatility. Because, yeah, he's a really strong talent. He knows how to get his hands on the footy.
He's a running machine too, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. You know, he'll be up there top three GPS numbers, absolute workhorse. So sometimes we actually got to calm him down because he'll end up running all over the place and getting some weird positions. So, yeah, but he's a definite workhorse.
Hey, this is brilliant, the Anzac Eve. And it's going to be a consistent event for you and the Tigers to have such a permanent fixture as a part of what is Australia's Day. For you as the captain of the club and everyone at Melbourne, you must be delighted.
Oh, it's an amazing, amazing game. You know, I'm very jealous I can't be out there to play because it's such a special game. You know, you get goosebumps. Before the game, you know, the crowd's blacked out, the ceremony and the two teams out there running through the banner together. So it's definitely my favourite game of the year to be out there and playing, and just the occasion, so special. So, yeah, hopefully we can continue this in the future. I think there's supposed to be a really good turnout tonight, and the fans are really buying into it as well.
And January, just wandering down the aisle? You've got everything prepared. Are you going to have any say in anything that happens, or is the better half just running the lot?
I thought I would have a pretty big say, but I quickly worked out that is not a great idea. So I've just butted out, and I'm just a bit of a yes man at the moment.
And you just pay for it all too, Jack.
The invoice.
I just pay for it, buddy. Checking on the budget.
How old are you, Jack?
I just turned 24.
Ooh, very early, Jim.
I've taken good stock off the market too, which I never recommend.
Very, very early. Hey, Jack, we hope to see you playing soon, mate. And thankfully, your father's your father. Yeah. Joey's just been getting a bit of advice in the ad break from
necessary
a man
advice.
Who is still at his playing weight, and he's looked at Joey and said, "You're not at your playing weight." Brendan Gale, the CEO of Richmond, joins us. Hello, how are you, Brendan? Great to see you.
I'm good, Mark. I didn't quite put it in those terms, let's be honest, but he's a little corpulent. just a little bit.
And your advice to him was to not have sugar and do what all year?
No, no. Well, I've just saw that great documentary a couple of years ago on sugar. And
yes.
How destructible excess sugar. So that's all I've done, and off the bad lollies and chocolates and stuff, and one of those crazy icebergers that have got addicted to cold water swimming.
That's the bit that interests me. The sugar I agree with. Mm. But the cold water, Benny, I don't get that.
Yeah,
well, it's got to be. Do you get the ice cream headache and everything?
Well, you have the little rubber hoodie on,
right?
Which is a bit of a silly look, but who cares? But no, you get down there, it's very restorative, and it just comes part of your routine. And
how much do you get the hot and cold?
Oh, in the depth of winter, probably only 200 metres, 300 metres tops. Then drag myself out and get in the steam room, and you get the hot cold and you're jumping out of your skin.
Do you run into idiot Spud down there, or is he given up on?
Well, Spud used to talk it up large because
he
used to talk about he was the giant at the bars down there, but I haven't seen him in a long time.
Oh, hello. That's what we want to hear.
Joey's just Googling corpulent, and I don't think he's very happy with the end results here. Hey, Brendan, congratulations on what in a short period of time these two footy clubs have built. How did all this come to pass? Because I think a lot of people's highlight of the season last year was the Monday night game between the two of you and the spectacle that we saw.
It was a few years ago, Simon Matthews, who works and runs our media team, just texted me one night on Anzac Eve and said, "Gee, I feel like watching a game of footy. We're sitting home sort of not doing much." And it really started from there. We thought about the concept. We thought about a natural partner being Melbourne, given our shared wartime history and the MCG being an important part of it. And it took a while to sort of encourage or to sell the idea to the AFL, and certainly we were very respectful of the Victorian RSL, and it just, from little things, big things have grown. We had crowds of 60,000 the first couple of years, and last year I think we'd forecast 72, and it just kept coming and coming. It was remarkable. And the two sides have been emerging over the last few years. You know, they've got the great shared history, our people, our mobs, you know, the Demons and the Tigers, they want to be part of this. They want to come and you know, recognise those who've given everything to our country in all theatres of war. And so it's been really successful.
You put it on record a few years ago that you wanted 70,000 members and a premiership. Could you have imagined in your wildest dreams that it would have come this far? Has it exceeded even your expectations?
Look, if you had have said years ago you'd be on 91 at round 5 or 6, yeah, you'd say, look, that's a stretch too far. But look, it's something we've done over the last few years is build our membership pretty well. So we've had the big spike off the back of the premiership this year, but we've had a pretty strong program for several years. The premiership, I mean, I just felt with the list we had at the time and, you know, organic growth and improvement adding here and there, you're going to be in that sort of frame, you know, around, you know, 16, 17, 18, you're going to be half a chance, hopefully, all things going well. I mean, off the back of 16, we had a tough year, and coming into 17, whilst I thought we would respond, no, a premiership would have seemed too far then, but it's an amazing what momentum does, I guess.
Benny, I thought from memory, and you will correct me, please, because I'm likely to be wrong, it was more than one premiership, wasn't it? Wasn't the template more than one? And
it was three finals, zero debt, and 75,000 members.
And a premiership.
The first part of that was simply, there was no mention of premiership. Oh, right. It was about getting ourselves in a position as a club where we can compete.
Yeah. Because
back in 2010, we weren't competing off or on the field. So it was almost a measure. It was almost a measure of our competitors to get in the main game.
Yeah. Well, what I loved about it, if it was more than one, is that you weren't going to be content with one. You know, I loved how bold it was and how you put it out there. And say, my question is leading on to how you've maintained the rage, because as a 37-year wait and just a tsunami of what happened last year, has it been hard to recenter everyone and do that bit?
I don't think so, JB. I mean, you'd have to ask, you know, Damien and Barmy and the leaders. Look, I think the first thing is, you know, in terms of our coaching and staff around the footy department, they're very experienced and a lot of successful experience. They've been part of teams that have backed up year after year, and I guess they see some of those red flags of complacency or whatever. And the other point is, I think our leaders, if you look at you know, Koch and Rance Revolt, I mean, they're wonderful players, but they are ferocious competitors. And so they're driving the standards. And I think collectively as a whole group and as a whole club, I think it's, you know, it's been a long time between drinks. And I think as a club, we've enjoyed having a feat.
Yep.
And we want to go again. I mean, we want to experience that euphoria of September, as all clubs do. As all clubs do. Every club has claims, I would say. But so no complacency at this stage, that's for sure.
Are there any other grand plans for the Richmond Football Club? Besides winning more premierships, is there anything that you're thinking off the scale, big picture, 25, 50 years, that you can turn this Richmond Football Club into?
Well, not really, Joey. It's I think the first part of our plan was getting our club in a position where we're competitive off the field. We're really aligned and focused and disciplined and had a good business, because you need those things to be able to win premierships and sustain performance. So, you know, I think those things we do very well. You know, we won our 11th premiership and that's wonderful. And I think the focus would be right now on winning a few more in an incredibly competitive industry and making sure as a footy club we continue to remain relevant to a rapidly changing country who consume sport and entertainment in a range of different ways.
That's what I was asking. I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, netball clubs. We're hearing about NBL expansion. You know, you've got the AFLW team coming in. I was talking along those lines. Have you got those plans at the moment, or not really being the best football club in the competition?
I think at this stage it's about being a really good, solid, competitive footy club, Joe, because that's something we probably haven't been able to sort of claim for a long time. And I think that's something we want to really be for a while, hopefully.
You've been a little bit creative, though, with the education, collaborations, that it's almost sort of social enterprise stuff that adds another revenue stream to the club.
Yeah, we've had to, I mean, all clubs are challenged by revenue. We need to keep growing revenue, and they're trying to diversify revenue, so it's less reliant on simply on-field performances that can fluctuate wildly. So we've gone into the business of managing health aquatic recreation facilities. We have a company called Align Leisure that's won 3 contracts now to manage these facilities that councils normally do, and there's a whole range of other benefits at the back of that. You know, education and training programs, partnerships with Swinburne, all these diversify revenue base, but importantly, they're consistent with our purpose as a footy club.
If you can sell whatever your medical department are doing, Benny, to the other 17 clubs, you will be the richest club by that far. It doesn't matter. You've had the most glorious run of injury over the last 35 games of all time. Credit to the staff. Everyone says, oh, well, you can get lucky and unlucky, and that is true.
Yep.
But they're obviously doing something right.
No, look, you need luck. Clearly you do, but a lot of it comes down to good management. And And to have one player unavailable in the last weeks of last season, it was a remarkable performance. And to have, you know, our reserves playing well as well. You know, Craig McRae did a wonderful job. You know, I think they're very conservative early in the season last year with players and their availability, and that paid dividends towards the end. And, you know, we've got a few injuries tonight, you know, with Vlosten and Caddy. I think they're probably conservative. We've got another game on Sunday, so I'd rather those players out there, but I'd back those guys in, our medical staff, any time.
And just looking at the Melbourne livery wandering around the part of the ground, this is their home game, I presume.
Yep.
Did you ever share it, or has it always been a one-on-one off?
No, we just decided to leave it that way and sort of reap what you sow. But having said that, we work really hard on co-marketing and promoting this and making sure as many people get along, and Richmond supporters and the like tonight to enjoy and be part of the spectacle.
Brendan, it's not an industry for reflection, and I know the premiership's gone and you're looking forward to the next one, but is there a moment that sticks out in your mind from grand final day or the days afterwards?
Oh, look, I think the moment for me that sticks out of that September was, in fact, was the preliminary final. Knowing you got the luxury of knowing you won the premiership the week later, to sit back and to experience that first minute. You know, two goals inside a minute. To have 95,000 and 92, the noise, it was seismic. It was one of those times where I've just sat back and almost had an out-of-body experience. So this is just remarkable. And for everyone to be involved in such a spectacle and the power of this joint, it was incredible. So that was a moment where I sat back and thought, wow, but clearly the premiership, and gee, there are 100 instances through the grand final which you could reflect on.
And that vision of Richo crying like a baby, have you had to pull him aside and just say, listen, mate, there's a standard that we sort of expect from our people, and that probably didn't quite reach?
Well, we just thought that he might have taken a bit of attention away from the boys, which he won. Sort of made it all about him, didn't he? Really?
That's it.
Sort of clarried on and
no doubt.
Had a me time for Richo.
And Jack singing with the Killers, for some people, that will be the standout moment of the grand final.
Well, it was remarkable, wasn't it?
It was.
It was just one of those Jack moments, you know. You could only you could do it. But I had no idea. I had no idea the next morning, to be honest. But it was.
I've had enough of him.
I know.
Yes, exactly.
I know our major sponsors, Jeep, were very happy because viral throughout the world.
It was. I found it a tough day. A really bittersweet day because, as a family, you know, given everything we'd been through, we're so invested in Jack and the possibility of that day. And at the same time, you know, Joey and I were coming to the end of our careers. That was it. We knew no chance for us to win a flag. And we're in the car for the motorcade, and we pull out in the far pocket, and we pull onto the ground, and we're coming around towards where Richmond run up the race, and the banner goes up. And James looks at me and he says, Daddy, I want to go through the banner. And he's been very sport. He's come through the Saints banner three or four times. And I said, sorry, buddy, no, you can't. Daddy's retired. And he just looked at me and he said, no, with Jack.
Oh, there we are.
Gee,
have some whack.
So it was just a real knife into my already broken heart.
Benny, as we let you go, you came in and said Joey looked a touch corpulent, and he was Googling it. Corpulent, if you don't know, Joey.
What a great word, corpulent.
Fat, fattish, obese, overweight, plump, portly, stout, chubby.
Beer-bellied.
Hefty, upholstered, meaty, fleshy, gargantuan, and my favourite, elephantine.
That is a great word, corpulent. I like that.
I try to soften it, but it hasn't come out.
When you look at it like that,
you can't soften elephantine.
Chunky, bulky, beer-bellied.
Broad and well-rounded. Benny, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and your footy club. Hey, a bit of tribunal news. James Sicily has got 1 week for the incident with Attlee, where he apparently trod on him. Now, Lindsay Thomas has already got 1 week for the incident with Joel Selwood, but currently in the incident with Scotty Selwood, where some people felt he ran past the ball, James, the AFL is arguing 4 weeks, and Port Adelaide arguing 3 weeks for Lindsay Thomas. So Jay-Z will be in about 15 minutes' time. Rui, you look like you've got a few thoughts on that as well. So we'll discuss the tribunal next.
Just need to explain with the definition of the word corpulent.
Yes.
that elephantine was one of the words mentioned in there.
Yes.
Which is different from the affliction that Nick Del Santo has, which is elephantitis.
What's that, Jim?
He has elephantitis.
Which is what?
A totally different thing.
What's the difference?
What it means is that a part of your body has become a resembling of an elephant, which is his ankles. So the rest of Dal's body is actually pretty well proportioned.
Not bad.
But then he's just got these sort of liter-long Coke bottles that extend out of the bottom of his legs to his feet. It's extraordinary.
Yeah.
So that's a completely different affliction what Joey's currently rolling with.
His ankles and his knees is just a plank.
Yeah, there's the same sort of width the whole way down. And happy for us to talk about it too.
He loves it.
Doesn't sound attractive. Hey, news from the AFL Tribunal. All right, there's a bit to get through here. Three cases at the tribunal tonight. It's like the olden days, Jim, where everyone used to go up to the tribunal and away you go.
Just around the corner here.
Yeah,
monster.
That's it. You'd get Eddie and Stephen Quatermain reporting out the front what was going on. Yeah. Okay, James Sicily with the incident where, in theory, he trod on Sean Attlee. Serious misconduct. He's received a week. We'll get your thoughts on that in a moment. Lindsay Thomas has already got 1 week for striking Joel Selwood. And he is currently in front of the tribunal for the incident on his brother, Scott Selwood. The AFL are arguing it should be 4 weeks on top of the 1 week he's already received. Port Adelaide are arguing 3 weeks for Lindsay Thomas, which would add up to 4 in total. Joel Selwood up later on today for the striking incident back on Lindsay Thomas. You can follow all that. Already, you raised your eyebrows immediately when I told you that James Sicily had got a week, Rui.
Yeah, the potential to cause injury, serious injury, with James Sicily was almost non-existent. He's trodden on his calf. The player hardly even responded, retaliated. Yet Tom Mitchell, off the ball, behind play, can lift his elbow straight into Todd Goldstein's head and get a fine. I don't understand where they sit on that. I mean, it's just... The potential to cause injury is generally what they go by, and that's just dumbfounded me, that one.
Yeah, to be honest, I was surprised the outrage that Tom Mitchell should have got a week, because I don't think there was enough in it to warrant a suspension, because you've got to at least hurt the person. I mean, if you look at that incident, Todd Goldstein hardly even flinched and continued to run. So I don't mind Tom Mitchell getting off on that.
No worries. Yep.
Yeah, but Sicily, I'm surprised about as well. I mean, really, it wasn't a stomp. It was a bit of a... He stood on his calf, half stood on his calf and trotted off. Being a goose, he should have got a fine and definitely stamped it out. But again, I mean, we might touch on Lindsay Thomas. People saying because of his history that he's been crucified. I think there's a little bit of that in James Sicily as well, no doubt.
Talking about Lindsay Thomas, yep. Jim, you were involved at the North Melbourne Football Club where Lindsay did a lot of good work.
Yep.
And he came foul of the tribunal on several occasions, and people have various opinions on the way he plays the footy. And people often make the link between the way they perceive a bloke plays footy as to what type of fella he is, which I never quite understand that link. But tell us a bit about Lindsay Thomas.
He has been an easy target, but he hasn't helped himself. And running past the footy, especially in 2018, you know, I mean, we've been how long? Told for years that if you do that, you're in trouble. So you should know that that's not going to work. So, yeah, I must admit, I looked at that and I thought, oh, it'll be 2 to 3, and then if there's another incident, 3 to 4 sounded about right to me. I think 5's probably a bit heavy. That's just my gut feel on it. But he'll know he did the wrong thing. You can't elect not to go for the footy and run past it and pick someone off in 2018 and get away with it, or, you know, not be heavily penalised. The one I find really interesting is the Burton Higgins one. Not that I think Burton did anything malicious or there was anything malicious in it at all, but how many times have we sat in AFL briefings, all of us, where they've said, if you elect a bump and you hit someone in the head and they get knocked out, you're going to spend time out of the game. The last 10 years, I reckon I've sat in briefings, Rui, where the same message has come out of the AFL. So I look at that and go, elect a bump, hit in the head.
Yep.
You know, I just don't understand how
it's always
can be ignored.
Do they have an alternative? And Burton had an alternative. His choice was to tackle. And he didn't, so then you forfeit all rights. That's what I thought would be the case.
Let's hear from the match review officer yesterday, Michael Christian, on this very case.
In this particular case, because he executed the bump fairly, shoulder to chest, and couldn't reasonably foresee that there would be a clash of heads, there's no need to even go to assess impact, because the conduct was within the rules of the game.
So that's the issue I have with it. And let me just, well, before Hawthorn people all start going nuts, I know Ryan Burton's a ripper kid, and I don't think there was any malicious intent in what he did. So I don't want him hung either. But what interests me, Joey, well, probably more you, Howie, because these guys have just finished playing, so probably haven't had to sit through what we've had to sit through, which is good, by the way. The AFL, don't they? Every year they come to us at the start of every season and we get a full briefing on not only the changes in the rules of the game and all the rest of it, but also in the tribunal. It was again this year. And 10 straight years, I reckon, they've said, we don't care what the circumstances are. If you elect a bump and you hit someone in the head and they get knocked out, you're going to do time. So we've even said, haven't we, in these meetings?
Yeah, we have.
But what if you didn't mean it? You know, what if? And they go, well, if you had an alternative, as Rui says, to do something else, and you chose not to do that, and you chose to bump, then you're gonna miss. And so maybe, and this is where it'd be nice to speak to Stephen Hocking or someone. Maybe there's been a change of interpretation at AFL House, and if there is, let us know, and we'll go with a new set of rules. But it's different to what they've gone with for a long time.
Yeah, I think reading between the lines today that they said after the Nat Fyfe incident a couple of years ago, they had tweaked it a little bit. But being at the ground on Sunday calling it, you only see it for a split second, which is very different to what you see on TV. But watching it live, my immediate thought was, oh, by gee, Ryan Burton's got a few problems here.
But that's the point. And it's fair to say, even as a senior player, I was confused. So when I heard all the commentary around that incident, will it be suspension, will it not, I actually didn't know. I wasn't sure whether that's actually a legal bump, but they've accidentally clashed heads and you'll get off, or whether, no, as you said, no, you've elected to bump, you've clashed heads and you'll get suspended. I actually didn't know. And I've just played 16 years and been sitting and through all those as a player. So that's where I think there is this grey area that we needed some clarity around it that we didn't really know.
So what interests me now, because he's playing and that's all fine, is what happens in the future, Rui? Is this precedent that now resets everything? So the clubs, you know, challenge now heavily and go, well, we would argue that's an accidental clash of heads. Yeah, he chose to bump, but so did Ryan Burton. So that's choosing to bump's not a hanging offence. The clash of heads is accidental, so we want him off.
Well, I think within that explanation, Michael Christian needed to divulge whether the AFL or himself have changed their view or their interpretation, or whether the rules have changed. Because if the rules are changed and it's now acceptable to bump because you can't foresee the potential for injury, well, then just explain that within the finding of allowing Ryan Burton to play next week, because right now we're all sitting here and we're all confused.
As an AFL footballer, which you two did with great distinction, do you want to see that being allowed in the game or not? In the current game, do you want to see Ryan Burton being able to do that and play on?
It's a good question. It's a good question. I mean, I saw in the JLT young Liam Ryan for West Coast playing a game, and he blindsided a Fremantle player and got him beautifully, hip and shoulder, didn't see it coming, but they didn't clash heads. And the player was sore. It was a young player from Fremantle. I can't remember who it was, maybe Darcy Tucker or someone like that, or Ed Langdon. And they got up and they took time to go, wow, that was great to see. Just blindsided, hip and shoulder, fairly. Now, the flip side of that, if they accidentally clash heads and someone's knocked out, you say, well, then we don't want to see it. So I don't know. You can't have your cake and eat it too. I, as I said, I'm still confused on it. I'm not quite sure where I sit on it. And I know that hasn't answered the question, but that's how I feel.
There are always going to be accidents in footy, and this was a genuine accident. So I'm easy, whichever way they want to go. But if they're serious about eliminating head injuries, which they've said they are 100% determined to do, then if you have an alternative and you choose to bump, I think the path that we were on was protecting the players more than the new interpretation.
So we've got rid of the Byron Pickett. And by the way, Byron didn't do anything wrong because they were the rules when he played, so he just used to pick blokes off and was probably the best I've ever seen at doing it. But we needed to get rid of that because you couldn't come off the line and just put people in hospital, and so I'm glad that's not in the game. I just wonder, Howie, whether this is a little step back into the grey area when I thought we were getting this pretty black and white, to be honest.
Yeah.
So that's all I'd like to hear is where we're going from here. I just want to repeat. I know Ryan Burton's a ripper kid, and I don't think there was anything malicious in what he did. So
it was an accident.
Yeah, I don't want him hung, but he could have tackled and didn't, and under the rules that we were told, that was time out of the game. But clearly maybe things have changed.
Jim, I don't know if you've noticed, working on the Big Bash, Ricky Ponting was always the captain of Gilchrist and Waugh and Fleming and these guys. So when he speaks, they look to him still now and they go a little bit off his opinion and they see what Ricky's going to say. Yes. I'm sensing the same type of situation here where I think Rui's still your captain in a lot of ways.
Absolutely, he is. He's still my captain. I still do as he says.
Right. Yeah,
absolutely.
Just the one sugar. Thanks, mate.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.